Hello, and welcome to the teaching of BTE, the Bible Translation and Exegesis Ministry serving the Central Coast of California. We feel strongly about handling the Word of God with accuracy, and that's why we approach the Scriptures from the starting point of the original languages. Our hope is to provide you with sound Bible study that will help you to grow in the wisdom and knowledge of our Lord. For a complete list of our resources or to just let us know how we are doing, go to bteministries.org.
We are in Philippians chapter 2. Philippians chapter 2. You remember I've shared with you the theme from a literature or grammatical standpoint is fellowship. Most commentaries you will pick up and read will say that the key theme of Philippians is joy, because Paul wanted them to cause his joy to fill up. But the theme is fellowship, how believers are to fellowship together. And today we are introduced to a major word, which means a major concept in Paul's thinking and presentation about the teaching of fellowship. Chapters 1 and 2 is the doctrine of Christian fellowship. In the first 11 verses of chapter 2, we're going to study the principles of Christian fellowship. The principles of Christian fellowship. In verse 1, we have the condition of fellowship. And in verse 2, we have the instruction of or on fellowship. Verse 1 says, "If there be therefore any comfort in Christ." If you have the King James, the definitions are actually reversed. King James has consolation in Christ, but the word actually means comfort. And then the King James has comfort second, but it's actually the word consolation. If there be therefore any comfort in Christ, if any consolation of love, if any fellowship of the Spirit, if any bowels and compassions, fill my joy, in order that you might think the same thing. Having the same love, these are all modal participles describing what he means by think the same thing. Having the same love, being souls together, thinking the one thing. We'll take the next two verses next week, but these first two verses, the condition of fellowship. There are five things listed, Paul says, for your consideration. Each of these lines begins with the English word if, but in Greek it is called the first class condition assumed to be true. Just like when Satan tempted Jesus out in the wilderness and Satan said, "If you are the Son of God," he wasn't challenging Jesus to prove himself to be the Son of God. He assumed that it's true. It's equivalent to our word since. Since, therefore, there is any comfort in Christ, and since there is consolation of love, since there is fellowship of the Spirit, and since there is bowels and mercies, then the command comes. Fill up or fulfill my joy. So the condition of fellowship, he's presenting a condition that already exists. Since there is comfort, since there is consolation, since there is fellowship, as I've mentioned to you before over the weeks and months, once you are born of the Spirit of God, once you have received Christ, we are unified and one with all others who know Christ. The unity is there through Christ. We don't have to create it. It's already there. The problem that the Bible warns against are those things in the human realm that we turn to that cause divisiveness within the body of Christ. And so, in Ephesians chapter 4, verse 1, Paul says to be diligent, to keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace, to keep the unity of the Spirit. We already have unity. There are things, problems, that we all experience in the human that carries over into that unity that causes us to, for there to be a division there and separation among believers. Five things to consider. Since, therefore, there is any comfort in Christ. The word comfort, paraklesis, that's the same word used for the comforter in John chapter 14. Jesus said the comforter will come. That would be the Holy Spirit, the encourager. And secondly, notice this is in Christ. Christ is the one who has this comfort. It is in Christ that he ministers that comfort through us and to us. It is not human. But since that exists in Christ's ministry among us, that comfort, that encouragement, let that be the influence over your life. If any consolation of love, consolation, the word consolation in Greek has to do with comforting somebody in a loss of a loved one, coming alongside of them and comforting them. And it's not comfort, human comfort, it's the comfort of love, agape. Again, it's love that is produced by God's Spirit that is genuine and sincere and cares about people. Since there is fellowship of the Spirit, in God's Spirit, that fellowship that we have, and the word fellowship, koinonia, means to share or have something in common. What we have in common is Christ and his Spirit living in us. Since that fellowship of the Spirit already exists, let that be the motivating factor behind your time together. Two things then, if any bowels and compassions. Bowels is the literal translation. Splunknos is the Greek word. And the Greeks would always use internal organs to describe something that is beyond surface, something that's beyond human, something that's genuine, something that is deep. In this instance, something that is produced by God. A deep affection, not a sloppy, what's called sloppy agape, sloppy human stuff. We're talking about the affections that come from down deep inside. And the compassions that come from the Spirit of God that are genuine. Since these things already exist, those considerations, verse 2, the command, fulfill or fill my joy. The word joy in its Greek usage, in social terms, it had to do with satisfaction. Didn't have to do with being happy and jumping around and acting happy and joyful. He really has in mind here his satisfaction, knowing that they are tapping into and allowing these five things to be motivating factors that move in their fellowship and not their own personal wants and desires. He says, so fulfill my joy, purpose, in order that you might be like-minded or that you might think the same thing. Having the same love, being of one accord, that is souls together, thinking the one thing. There's a very important word that's used twice just in the verse 2. The word like-minded, or to think the same thing. It's the word phroneo. There are different words that describe the workings and processes of the mind that's in the Bible. Phroneo has to do with the frame of mind. And so when it talks about thinking the same thing, it doesn't mean that we think the exact thoughts And when it comes to doctrine, that we believe the exact same words. It's talking about the frame of mind. It's talking about the attitude. And we'll pick that up in a second as we carry that thought out. He says, I'll be satisfied that you all be having the same frame of mind or attitude, by having the same love, by being of souls together, like your souls are as one person, thinking the one thing. And again, the word thinking is this word phroneo. Minding. Having this one thing as the focus of one's attitude and frame of mind. If you turn with me, if you have your Bibles, to chapter 4 of Philippians. Philippians chapter 4, this will be the application of this word. And by the way, as we continue in chapter 2, verse 5, coming up in a couple of weeks, it says, let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. Same word, phroneo. Let the same frame of mind, the same attitude that was in Jesus, in his approach to this earthly life, let it be the same in you. In other words, what was the Lord's frame of mind when he approached this earth? Like he's going to come and he's going to make a killing and get rich, and he took the low road. He became a servant. He submitted himself to death. So when we have fellowship together, what is our attitude? You see, we are prone to think what we want to think. This is what I want to happen. I want this to happen for me. Well, in fellowship of believers, that doesn't exist, except to divide among believers. So as we move on in chapter 2, we're going to see that even Jesus, the frame of mind, the attitude in his approach to this earthly life, let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. But in chapter 4, as Paul is signing off, I'll begin at the first part of chapter 4. There are two women, Euodias and Syntyche, who are not getting along in the church in Philippi. So he starts off, so then, my brethren, beloved and longed for, my joy and my crown, in this way stand firm in the Lord, beloved. In what way? Well, I appeal to Euodias and I appeal to Syntyche that they think the same thing in the Lord. They're the same phrase. Phroneo, that they think the same thing, not in the human, but in the Lord. How do they have the same frame of mind or attitude? Well, if they can't get along and they can't agree on something that's happening within the Christian fellowship that's disrupting the Christian fellowship, they are to have the same frame of mind in the Lord. That is, as we will see, to mind the one thing, and that is whatever Christ wants. So that I can have my opinion, I can have what I want to see happen, but in Christian fellowship, that really doesn't matter, because what I want doesn't matter. If we disagree on something, what color the rug should be in the nursery, or whatever, what color to paint the church, you know that's always going to be my comeback. I did not want the church painted white. And I was the only one that didn't want it painted white. So it got painted white. So I always use that as my, you know. It doesn't matter whether we get our way or not. That's the point. We have to deny ourselves. And our attitude has to be whatever the Lord wants. in order to keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. But he says, stand firm, he says, that they think the same thing in the Lord. And I request you also, genuine yoke fellow, that is, believers, help those women who labored with me in the gospel and with Clement also, and with the other my other fellow laborers whose names are in the book of life. So he says, these people are all saved, but they can't get along. So help them. He's going to present four commands for what it means to think the same thing in the Lord, beginning with verse 4. Number one, rejoice in the Lord always. And again, I will say rejoice. Same word, satisfaction. So listen to the command in context. Be satisfied in the Lord always. And again, I'm going to say, continue to say in the future, be satisfied with the Lord. The reason why I can't get along with other Christians is because my satisfaction is getting my own way. If I want what the Lord wants and I'm satisfied with whatever He wants, everything's going to be fine. I still might not like the color of the church. I'm not going to let you off the hook on that one. I might not like the color of the church, but it doesn't matter. Can't let it divide up. Then verse 5, secondly, let your moderation be known unto all men, the Lord is near. Moderation means holding back. How much does this earthly life and the material things of life mean to me? Can I give it up? Can I say, okay, you know, doesn't matter, whatever the Lord wants, I'm satisfied with what He wants? And people know you to be a moderate person, that the physical things of life are not worth fighting over, or you insisting on having your own way, you're not moderate if you are. There are certain things that we hold to that we just won't let go. Be known for moderation. Thirdly, verse 6, be anxious or careful for not one thing. The word anxious or careful, merimnata, is this word that has to do with the occupation of the attention of the mind. Don't be occupied with anything. But in everything by prayer and petitions, let your requests be made known to God. In other words, if you've got a problem with things, turn it over to Him. We get occupied with something and it snowballs on us. And the situation psychologically and emotionally might even ruin our health. Something start off very small and it just snowballs on our obsession in our minds. Give it to the Lord. Make your request be made known unto God. And here's the promise, and the peace of God, which exceeds all perception, shall keep your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. The peace of God. That's what counts. Most of the time, if I'm not at peace, it's because I'm not getting what I want. I'm not getting my own way. And God reveals to me that I'm not moderate. I'm not a moderate person. I can't give that up to the point that it interferes with and affects my fellowship with other believers. So therefore, I'm to deny myself. I have to reevaluate my own heart, my own mind. Am I satisfied with what the Lord wants? For all of us to be like-minded or to think the same thing, it's to have that one goal and one purpose, no matter how we feel or think about things, is that the end result is we want what the Lord wants, whatever He wants. It's not our church. It's the Lord's church. You're not my servant, you're the Lord's servant. We're God's people. So to think the same thing means to have the same frame of mind, is that we, in spite of who we are, in spite of how we feel, we agree and our unity is found in wanting what the Lord wants. Let him lead. Let him lead in the fellowship to reveal what he would have done. Remember, though, that we fall into this problem that we have in these days, that we have church government and we have a tendency to take over God's church for him and make decisions for him. And then all of a sudden there's a rift in the church and a division in the church because some people agree and some people don't agree on what should be done. It doesn't have anything to do with us. It has to do with wanting what the Lord wants. So these two women, Euodias and Syntyche, they are told to think the same thing in the Lord. Their frame of mind should be, what does the Lord want? That doesn't mean that you as a person are going to have, can't have opinions, because we will, and we do. But that can't be the ruling and dominant factor in our fellowship with one another. So since there is comfort in Christ, and since there is consolation of love, since there is fellowship of spirit, since there is genuine affection and compassion, let that be what motivates. Let that be what rules in fellowship, by wanting the one thing, and that is whatever the Lord wants. Let's close with prayer. Our Heavenly Father, thank you for your word. We thank you for your encouragement. We thank you for the fact that you show to us that there must be a change, a transformation of mind, to bring us to a point of changing the frame of mind, changing our attitude, and changing our approach to and perception of life, to see it as you see it. And in order to keep the unity of the Spirit and the bond of peace, we must deny ourselves. We have the freedom to share, but then we have the choice to submit and flow and go with what you are leading, not just in my life, but in the life of God's people. We pray that you continue to work in our lives to help us to see that we're not just an individual, but we're one of many parts within the body of Christ, functioning together, focused on the one thing, the Lord Jesus Christ. We pray that by your Spirit you'd minister these things to us and help us to understand these things. In Jesus' name, amen.